Greetings, friends. Welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2023. It is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And once again, a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. And I sound like a broken record, but it is a beautiful morning here on Pensacola Beach. Quiet, just sunny and about 74 degrees out there. Not a whole lot of traffic on the beach this morning. If you haven't been down here, come down to Pensacola Beach in October. Let me tell you that. That's my travel advice for the morning. But we gathered to worship together. So let's begin with first things. Let's begin with a spirit of gratitude, thanksgiving to our good God. And we'll celebrate life by taking in the gift of life, the breath of life. And as we breathe, let's call to mind those things that are the best, the people we love, blessings we've enjoyed in our lives, good things that we're anticipating in the week to come. Give thanks to God for all of it. Turn your face toward the heavens. Maybe even allow a smile to come to your face. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. You can find the bulletin just to the left side, just below where you found today's podcast. Right there where it says sermon notes, and I think below it says podcast bulletin. Tap on it, click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. So let's begin. Though there are rulers, presidents, kings, queens, God is the Lord of all life. In God we live and move and have our being. God requires our faithfulness and our service. We reach out to others with the same kind of love with which God has touched our lives. Come, let us worship the Lord who is always with us. Let us praise God who walks daily by our side. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. God, thank you for today, for the gift of your word alive among us. We thank you for the gift of your church, the body of Christ in the world. We pray, Father, as we gather to consider the words of Paul, what they meant to the congregation there and then, and what they mean to us here and now. We pray that we would hear the word that you have for each and every one of us. Truly hear it. We pray that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation. We ask this in the name of Christ and say, Amen. Friends, a brief reflection, and I pray some food for thought. This letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonian church that he helped to found, a church that he just loves, and the good word that he gets from Timothy that things are going well there, even in the midst of the continued persecution. You see, if you go back to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, you'll read that when Paul and Silas were on their missionary mission, when they're out preaching the gospel, at one point, they ended up in Thessalonica. And over a series of three Sabbaths, Paul preaches in the synagogue. He lifts up from their scriptures, his scriptures, a devout Jew, a Christ follower. But he says to them, based on this, how can we have any other conclusion? This is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you. And many came to believe. Many of the Jews in that synagogue came to believe. And then there were many devout Greeks there. They came to believe. Many, many of them. And many of the leading women in this congregation came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, it wasn't like, okay, well, that was pleasant. Thank you, Paul. Those of you who want to go with Paul, go ahead. And the rest of us will persevere. Of course, it didn't go that way. There was significant pushback. They weren't going to sit for that. They weren't going to let their world be turned upside down. Further on in 17, as a crowd starts to get fomented and people agitated at these Christ followers that are emerging among them, we get this quote. This mob says, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also." These people who have been turning the world upside down. Is that our legacy? Are we the people that turn the world upside down? Are we the people that call the world on its lies and nonsense and debauchery and perversion? Do we begin with the understanding, the story of our Lord who walks into his temple, sees it corrupted, and can't stand it, flips the tables of the money changers, clears the marketplace? You've turned my house into a den of thieves. Is that not the work of the church? To chase the thieves out of the temple. However it was that Paul preached to the Thessalonians, he clearly had help from the Holy Spirit. He says so in today's letter. Essentially saying, "Now we came and we preached to you, we laid out the case for you, and you clearly comprehended it, but it was more than your mind. The Holy Spirit got a hold of you because not only did you hear and understand, but it changed you. You became like us. You became imitators of us. You became imitators of our Lord Jesus." Their worlds changed. Starts with Jesus. And for Paul, clearly it's very personal. Paul, who is a zealous Jew, trying to stamp out this Christian movement, who runs headlong into Jesus on the road, gets knocked on his can, and changed forever to the point where we meet Paul, who can't shut up about it. He will spend the rest of his life telling anyone who he can about it. Persecuted, incarcerated, beaten, killed, because he can't shut up about Jesus. But here in this letter, we see Paul's heart. When he sees this thing that's overflowing in his own heart, manifesting itself in the lives of these other believers, knowing that there's a price to pay for following in this way. But the curious thing is, the more that the corrupt authority tries to shut this Jesus movement down, the bigger it gets. Because that's what truth does. Truth expands under pressure. The liars can be in power for a short period of time, but the throne of lies always falls. And I guess that's one of the reasons I get encouraged when I read these letters. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's just me. I feel like I am just surrounded by the brood of vipers, the throne of lies. Institutions that I once revered and trusted implicitly, I can see only with suspicion. And if I did not have my faith in my church as my bedrock and my foundation, I fear I would just be in a free fall. If my politics were my religion, and if my political leaders were my gods, where would I be? And my fear is that there are many of us who fall into those categories. They're just political figures. And some of them are very devout, good men and women. But we participate in a system that I fear has been built on lies. And we have to push back. We have to turn the world upside down. Not mindless, violent uprising, right? We are called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We are an army of grace and peace and salt and light. And light and truth. This is what's on display in this Thessalonian church. They are surrounded by a debauched culture, this erudite Greek and Roman culture that is throwing all kinds of stuff out into the world as virtuous and sensual, and it's very attractive and enticing. But the church says, I choose Christ. I choose the way of temperance. I choose the way of modesty and grace. I choose to be the one at the banquet who will be served last. Let me cool your fever, bind your wounds, and fill your stomach before I tell you about my God. I fear, and I pray not to sound overly negative today, but I fear that we are entering dark days, friends. But we don't enter this time alone. We have our ancestors. We have our story. We have our Lord who promises us to be with us in the times of trial. I don't know what it looks like. But I do know the church needs to shake off the dust, maybe lose a little weight, stand on its feet and proclaim the name of Jesus in word and in action. And we too can hear the words of Paul to be encouraged, that somehow this Spirit has taken hold of us and we persevere even when things are hard. We find the capacity to love in the midst of some of the hardest times and to lead people to a life-giving, life-saving relationship with our Lord Jesus. Like I said, I want to be brief. And I pray that you'll take time to read this 4-chapter letter in its entirety. Maybe read through the book of Acts. Think of the challenges of the early church and how we might draw from that strength and courage today in the here and now. And you'll find, I know you will find, that it's really good news. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of your church. Thank you for the courage and the faith of those original Christ followers who risked everything in an effort to turn the world upside down. Help us to be worthy of this legacy. Help us to be worthy of your name. We pray for this, your good world. We pray for the strength to be agents of your grace and peace. We pray for the people that have their hands on positions of power, people who move around massive amounts of money, people who direct massive military operations. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Convict them. Show them who they are. Show your face to them, O God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Closer to home, O God, in our families and in our own hearts and minds, God, you know our joys and our concerns. And we pray you come alongside us as we make silent space to share with you these prayer lists of ours. Come to us now, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gift of our church, our sacred stories and prayers and liturgies. We thank you, O God, for this prayer that we inherit that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, hear these words of Paul to the Thessalonian church. But I believe they echo forward to us as well. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.